The group connecting ISU student athletes to endorsement deals puts a focus on men's basketball.
Obviously, we want to get back to the tournament, and we just don't want to get back once. We want to be back into the tournament year in, year out.
You'll hear about the new 1998 club just ahead on WGLT's Sound Ideas. Good afternoon, I'm John Norton. Also on today's show, a McLean County woman will help shape the state's efforts to improve early childhood services.
Knowing that those barriers continue to exist, it is imperative that I be a voice.
And hundreds of Illinois Republicans prepare to head to Milwaukee to push Donald Trump toward the presidency.
Being a delegate to the National Convention is a whole lot of fun because you get to see all basically everybody shows up to speak.
Those stories, follow a Bloomington Normal News update just ahead. This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 WGLT and WGLT.org, part of the NPR network.
Support for WGLT comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology. Hear My Story continues with local patient Joan Bullard.
So I was pretty nervous about the testing part. And so they were very good about that. I was very relaxed. That made a big difference to me. I felt like I had a truer test than I had 7 years before that.
Joan's full story can be found at bnaudiology.com.
From the campus of Illinois State University in Normal, this is WGLT's news magazine, Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton. 2 years from now, a new state agency will formally launch, the Illinois Department of Early Childhood. That will bring a wide array of oversight, services, and programs under one roof, with the goal of making them easier to access for families. And there's a lot of work to do over those next couple of years, and that work is being guided in part by Lakeisha James Smith from Bloomington Normal. For the past couple of years, she's been involved with the Birth to Five Illinois initiative, which uses family and action councils to support inclusive and high-quality early childhood services in different regions across Illinois. James Smith was recently selected to be a member of the department's newly formed Transition Advisory Committee. James Smith tells WGLT's student reporter Courtney Kraft there is one major reason she accepted the position.
My six-year-old, he is diagnosed with autism, and it has been very difficult to navigate the system and getting him services, even down to him getting transportation from the public school system to his daycare. And so knowing that those barriers continue to exist, it is imperative that I be a voice. I get the opportunity to talk with diverse leaders across the state who have a heart for the children of Illinois and have a vision to make this the best state to raise a family in, and I see it happening.
What made you want to get involved with Birth to Five?
Originally, I was a part of the Family Advisory Committee. We were a community of 12 parents across the state that advocated for different things for families, especially with children with special needs. And so it kind of introduced me to policy work to advocate for the needs of families and children.
How do you think the department will help Birth to Five's mission turn into a reality?
I think that it will highlight the disparities that Birth to Five is bringing to light. And I think that it will open the door for families to receive all the services that are available for them to receive.
We found out last month that Governor Pritzker signed legislation creating a new Department of Early Childhood. What kind of work will entail? Is there meetings, events? What do you think?
We have meetings to discuss next steps to the agency. The TAC is actually comprised of parents, providers, advocates, and experts from diverse perspectives from across the state. And we also serve as an external advisory committee as the state moves towards a single early childhood agency. What we're doing is we are creating spaces and bringing all these agencies together, which is the Illinois State Board of Education, Department of Human Services, and DCFS. And so some of the work that we're doing is to make early childhood simpler, better, and fairer for families.
Last year, it cost over $300 per week to put an infant in childcare. And the state of Illinois also has huge slot gaps, which means that there are more kids that qualify for publicly funded early childhood services than there are spaces of accommodation. families in rural areas often have to drive and travel far distances because they live in childcare deserts. So, with that being said, what do you think this new department will do for these kinds of issues? How will it be helpful long term?
I think the rural families, that's one of the recommendations that's being addressed in our Birth to Five. They are looking at different avenues of how to help families with that. As far as what the new agency will address, the new agency will provide a better coordinated system of birth to five services, and it will allow the state to be more equitable, serve high need families, and make more efficient uses of state resources. The other thing is it will also reduce the administrative burden on providers and make it easier for them to connect families with services. As far as the slot gaps, I know that there has been a scholarship created for college students to come into early childhood education. So they are working to try to get people into the field. Birth to Five Illinois is also addressing the amount that early childhood providers are being paid to address the fact that they are not receiving a livable wage to increase recruitment into the early childhood field, which would hopefully close up some of those gaps.
We spoke with actually probably one of your colleagues, Region 17's Birth to Five Action Council. Her name's Melissa Breeden. She said that we cannot expect anybody to work without their basic needs met. One of those needs is childcare. Mm-hmm. So how do you think this department will make childcare more accessible to working moms and working parents?
I think that it will provide, like I said, streamlined services. So families do not have to navigate to different places to ask all the questions that they need to ask in order to obtain childcare.
And as a working mom, what does the definition of accessible childcare mean to you? Like, what would you like to see change in the system?
Because I have a child with special needs, it means being able to qualify for childcare regardless of my income level, because it's not, what's not factored in is the other services that he has to receive in order for him to make progress towards his goals. And so though it may look one way financially, it's really not that. And so we are disqualified from receiving those services and we could benefit from them.
When you move to this new position, you'll personally advocate for more services for special education and special needs children?
Yes, I already am. The TAC has been active. And, you know, we've already been working on stuff, and I am sharing my experiences of what it means to be a working mom, working full-time with a child with special needs, trying to navigate systems that aren't equitable.
That was Lakeisha James Smith, a member of the Transition Committee for the state's new Department of Early Childhood. She spoke with WGLT student reporter Courtney Kraft. State of Illinois plans to close the women's prison in Lincoln and relocate its inmates to the Chicago area. A woman who served time at the Logan Correctional Center says closing that prison is long overdue. You'll hear her story tomorrow on Sound Ideas.
Some companies are adding a new benefit to their compensation packages, fertility coverage. That's next time on Marketplace.
Listen to Marketplace beginning at 5:30 this afternoon on WGLT, sponsored by CEFQ. Stories and conversations around Bloomington Normal and McLean County. This is WGLT's news magazine, Sound Ideas. It's been 26 years since the Illinois State University men's basketball team last won the Missouri Valley Conference Championship and played in the NCAA tournament. It's one of the longest droughts in the Missouri Valley Conference. A group of Redbird boosters is putting its focus on ending that streak. Empower the Nest is the collective that helps connect ISU student-athletes with endorsement deals through name, image, and likeness. Empower the Nest has created a subgroup specifically for men's basketball. It's called, fittingly, the 1998 Club. James Higdon is president of Empower the Nest. Brendan White is ISU's Director of NIL and Community Engagement. In this conversation with WGLT's Eric Stock, Higdon explains the 1998 club will likely be the first of several sports-specific efforts to support NIL.
We've been exploring ways to make opportunities for individuals to donate to very specific sports and gain benefit. And the 1998 club is actually the first iteration of that. So what we've done is created a specific way for people who are interested in men's basketball to donate directly to men's basketball. And today you can do that with any of the sports. So if you wanted to donate and say, I'd like this to go to women's basketball, we definitely earmark that money for women's basketball. What we were recognizing is we want to start giving sport-specific opportunities as part of your donation levels as a way to say thank you and to really focus on your money is definitely going to that particular sport.
So that option was always there. There just wasn't a specific subset of the group.
It wasn't very well known, right? And now we're making it more intentional. And like I said, the 1998 Club is the first iteration of this. I would expect over the course of the next several months, we'll see something for women's basketball, football, volleyball. You know, we're starting to have conversations with more and more coaches and staffs to gain just understanding on where they want to go with things. We don't want to pressure them into doing things they obviously don't want to do as well. So we're going at their pace as well. So
should we presume that men's basketball was first on the list because it's attracted the most interest in NIL so far?
It's attracted quite a bit, but I wouldn't say it's the most. I mean, I think statistically...
Or is it the one where you see the most need?
Yeah, I'd say statistically, I think across the board, you know, the NCAA has quite a few facts that actually most NIL money goes to football, with men's basketball being a second, and then women's basketball being third. We've been working more closely with Coach Peden just because he was interested in getting this up and going sooner rather than later. So I don't know if it was a need or an interest. Just he was one of the first ones to come to us and say, hey, I like to do something like this. And last year they actually were trying it with they had an independent group called the Center Court Club where their donors were trying to get together to create just more of a group to kind of, you know, support men's basketball and hang out. So we sat down and then that's how the 1998 club came about.
I could ask about the name 1998, marking the last time the Redbird men's basketball team made the NCAA tournament. Why make that the name?
I think a callback to, right, reminding people that one, that's the last time we made it. It's been a while. And there's that focus on raising, you know, donations to help the NIL and the men's basketball team be competitive, not only within the Missouri Valley, but all of, you know, NCAA basketball. Obviously, we want to get back to the tournament, and we just don't want to get back once. We want to be back into the tournament year in, year out. Right? And I think Coach Peden's brought in some really nice pieces. You know, I think we're moving in the right direction in presenting that platform to allow individuals to contribute and be a part of that and reminded that, you know, hey, it's been quarter of a century since we've seen the NCAA tournament and some people, you know it's been a long time and are willing to help us to make that number not be 1998, but 2024, 2025.
I was going to say, if you win the tournament, you could change the name, maybe not.
Absolutely.
How much help do you feel that platforming men's basketball, specifically in the NIL space, will help the team in the short term and long term? Brennan?
I think if you just look at the this past year with the MVC as a whole from a conference view, you know, I believe the stat is 80% of our starting minutes throughout the entire conference transferred to a Power Four school. It's such an interesting world that we now live in the collegiate space in terms of, you know, NIL, the transfer portal, conference realignment. And so I think, you know, continuing to adapt to that space and always be open to new ideas is going to be key moving forward. And, you know, Jason and the collective have been a huge help in making sure that we are on the rise of figuring this thing out. You know, he and I will both say we don't have everything figured out when it comes to NIL. I openly don't know everything, but I think two of the most important aspects for Illinois State is that, one, our collective is for all 19 varsity sports. So it's not just men's basketball and football. On the second half of that, you know, I believe that we are still one of the only institutions in the Missouri Valley that has someone like me dedicated to NIL full time to make sure that we protect the integrity and eligibility of our student athletes.
As we continue here on Sound Ideas with Jason Higdon, who is head of Empower the Nest, the ISU Athletics Collective, and Brennan White, who is the ISU Director of NIL and Community Engagement. What are the student-athletes' expectations for how to get NIL deals when they're being recruited?
So it depends. You know, a lot of NIL is being done via social media right now in terms of the influencer landscape. So particular student-athletes that have a huge following on a certain social media platform, whether it be Instagram or TikTok, those student-athletes are going to be more able to secure NIL deals with various companies throughout the country, depending on, you know, what their interests are. But at the end of the day, I think it just comes down to building your brand. You know, these student athletes are so much more than student athletes. They all have very interesting hobbies. Like, for example, we have a gentleman on our football team. He makes route running videos, but he's also an avid fly fisherman. It's the strangest combo I've ever seen, but it works for his brand, and he gets a lot of likes and clicks on Instagram, which gives him more access to securing NIL deals with additional brands.
So how well positioned do you feel ISU is in the Missouri Valley now? Would we have a different look with Missouri State leaving for Conference USA? ISU's athletic budget would presumably be tops in the conference now, but where do you think that positions ISU, Jason?
Ooh, you know, I couldn't even say, to be honest. You know, personally speaking, I think, you know, having conversations like Coach Peden from a men's basketball, the things Coach Spack is doing, the things Coach Gillespie have been doing, I know Coach Matters, you know, talking about those four, just, you know, having conversations with them, even with Coach Holm, I've had some conversations about baseball, you know, where we're going with things like that. You know, I think we're well positioned from a sports across the board standpoint to really get to the top of the valley.
That was Jason Higdon with Empower the Nest and Brennan White, ISU's Director of NIL and Community Engagement, speaking with WGLT's Eric Stock. Higdon says Empower the Nest increased fundraising 170% from the first to second year, and ISU had more than 100 student athletes who signed name, image, and likeness deals in the last year. The average deal, about $1,800. Empower the Nest is in the midst of its 309 campaign. It's trying to find 309 donors who can contribute $309 each. That would raise close to $100,000 to support ISU's lower profile sports. For listening to Sound Ideas, WGLT's news magazine, I'm John Norton. Illinois Republicans are preparing to head to Milwaukee for next week's Republican National Convention. That's where they'll nominate Donald Trump to be the party's official nominee for president. The state party now appears to be in lockstep with their presidential pick, even though Trump has lost twice in Illinois. And intense infighting recently cost the Illinois GOP's leader his job. As IPR's Alex Degman reports, the next week will likely feature some tough discussions on where the Illinois Republican Party hopes to go.
Trump delegate Kent Gray has more than 200 presidential Christmas cards.
That's the JFK one, the year he died. So they actually got delivered like the day before he left for Dallas.
Wow.
The attorney from an upscale suburb of Springfield has been a political junkie most of his life and a name in local Republican circles for some time. He ran Trump's Illinois and Missouri campaigns in 2016 until he booked a Trump rally at UIC in Chicago that was overrun with protesters.
My name's on the contract for the UIC rally slash riot, which was pretty wild. I was up at that one.
Trump never showed up. Gray has lost several races in local, state, and national politics, but he was a John McCain delegate in 2008 and an alternate for Trump in 2016. Voters this year selected him and 50 others to be Trump delegates, and he loves it.
You know, a lot of people follow sports. A lot of people follow, you know, TV shows. A lot of people follow all kinds of different stuff. Kind of my interest is politics. And being a delegate to the National Convention is a whole lot of fun because you get to see all basically everybody shows up to speak to the entire assembled masses.
But Gray is attending the RNC at a time of turmoil for the Illinois Republican Party. Its chairman, Don Tracy, said he's resigning after the convention because his fellow Republicans would rather fight each other than Democrats. The party has been in the super minority in Springfield for years and hasn't held a statewide office since Bruce Rauner was governor. Steve Bollage thinks the Illinois GOP has been compromising away conservative values to try winning elections. He says it's not working and the grassroots folks are tired of it.
We feel like we've been pushed to the edge of a cliff. There's nothing to compromise anymore for us. So any kind of compromise for us becomes, well, we might as well just jump off the cliff.
Bollage lists off a number of grievances, like illegal immigration and perceived special rights for the LGBTQ community. His positions on those reflect the National Republican Party's platform. But Republicans have lost ground in Illinois lately, partly because of the stark divide on issues like that. But Bollage thinks there's plenty for the party to build on, given strong agreements on kitchen table issues like public safety and high taxes.
I haven't had anybody say that they like the idea of all these illegals coming in. I haven't had anybody say that they're happy about, you know, the spending that's going on, because whether you're a Republican or Democrat, you know, J.B. Pritzker's spending money like water.
Regardless of Trump's poor performance in past Illinois elections, Bollage can't wait to nominate Trump once again.
I am super excited. You know, I might wait to see what this is all about, because I don't know. But I'm assuming that I'll meet a lot of very interesting people.
Bollage is a diehard Trump supporter, and he's also a supervisor in Homer Township in Will County. After a New York jury convicted Trump of falsifying business records, he raised an upside-down American flag in front of the township's administration headquarters last month. But he put it right side up when people got angry. Kent Gray, the Springfield area attorney, isn't making predictions about the future of the party, but he is sure about a few things next week.
We will get together and we will have a vote on making Donald Trump the presidential nominee, and whoever he picks for vice president is the vice presidential nominee. And we'll have a lot of networking and a few cold beverages and probably some fun in Milwaukee and a whole lot of hot air from politicians speaking for 4 days.
I'm Alex Degman.
WGLT will have more reports from the Republican National Convention next week, and we are making plans to cover the Democratic National Convention in Chicago next month. And that is Sound Ideas, WGLT's news magazine made possible in part by Bloomington Normal Audiology. I'm John Norton. Story help today came from WGLT's student reporter Courtney Kraft and WGLT's Eric Stock. Katie Seelinger edits the show. You can find all of our Sound Ideas interviews and stories at WGLT.org, and you can subscribe to Sound Ideas on the NPR app and wherever you get your podcasts. And we'd love to know what you think of Sound Ideas. Comment on our Facebook page. We're WGLT-FM. At WGLT News is our handle on Instagram and Threads. This is 89.1 WGLT and WGLT.org, part of the NPR network.